Deep down, I think that most people want to know that their life has some meaning. Everybody wants to know that their life has a sense of significance. At the end of your life, you really want to be able to look back and you want to be able to know that your life had true meaning and that it truly counted for something. You know, how many of you, the older you get, the more it seems like life goes fast, doesn't it, huh? Young people, man, they don't get that, do they? Young people think, what are you talking about? You know, teenagers, they think life just kind of goes by real slow. They think they're never going to get to 16 and drive. You know, they think they're never going to get to 18, be able to, you know, do their thing. When I was in grade school, how many of you are like me? I didn't think 3 o'clock was ever going to come, did you? To be able to go out and play, you know. And so life just pokes along when you're young. But man, the older you get, the faster life goes. And you know what? You begin to realize, whoa, wait a minute, there's no reruns. You can't rewind. You know, there's no do-overs, you know. And so you want your life to have some sort of significance. The world that we live in is trying to kind of sell us a false bill of goods. The world that we live in is trying to sell our young people today a false bill of goods. And the world says, well, you know what? Your life will be significant if. There you go, if. Your life will be significant if you can be beautiful like the people on TV. Your life will be significant if you can make lots of money. Your life will be significant if you can achieve fame and popularity and status. You'll be significant if you can drive a certain car, wear a certain kind of clothes, have a certain kind of cell phone, have a certain brand name sunglasses. Yeah, man, I'm cool. Got the right kind. To me, the right kind of sunglasses are the kind that work. How about you? I'll just keep the sun out. But, you know, that's the world, man. The world's selling us a false bill of goods. It's all a lie. It's all a sham. You know, I think about a quote I heard from Tom Brady. He won 3 Super Bowls at the time of this interview. They interviewed him on 60 Minutes. And he said, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. He said, me, I think there's got to be more to life than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. And the interviewer asked him, so, well, what's the answer, Tom? And he replied, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Have you noticed how that, have you ever read the personal lives of a lot of these movie stars? Are they not miserable? They're just miserable. You know, you read about these sports stars and they're on drugs. You see these people, they got the world by the tail, you think, and they're miserable. They're addicted to alcohol, or they're addicted to drugs, or they got anorexia, or they've been through a string of broken relationships, and their private lives are so miserable. Listen, I've got news for you, folks. If you want to experience a life of significance, you're not going to find it in any of those places. It begins and that search ends in one place, and that's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is risen, He is exalted, and that's where you find significance. Now, to the world, 2,000 years ago, it looked like Jesus' life would not be one of significance. Just another religious zealot, you know, that died in a failed cause. But man, 3 days later, everything changed. Amen. 3 days later, buddy, everything changed. And my friend, Christ's resurrection from the dead proved that He was who He said He was, the Son of God, the resurrection, and the life. And after His resurrection, it was revealed that Christ's death was necessary because there on the cross, He was paying the penalty for our sin and for our wickedness. He had to die. It was something that had to happen if you and I were to have any hope. How many of you in here have ever done anything wrong? You know what? Did He die for your sin, yes or no? He did. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. All of us. And now He offers eternal life to whosoever will believe on Him and trust Him as their Savior. And at the very moment that you trust Christ, your spirit and the spirit of Jesus Christ become one. And the Bible says you have a new identity. You are in Christ. Now, last week I talked about this a little bit, but I wanted to bring some verses up today to prove what I was talking about to you, because I kind of mentioned it in passing last week. But I said there are only two possibilities for everybody in this room. God views you one of two ways. There's only two possibilities. And that's true of all 6 billion plus people on the earth. There's only two possibilities. Either you're in your sins, and that God views you as in your sins, or you're in Christ. And up on the screen, I'm going to bring a verse. It says, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Hey, listen, nobody should want to die in their sins, should they? But you know what? Here's the good news. If you've been saved and you trusted Christ, you've got a new identity. That's not your identity anymore. God no longer views you as in your sins. Here's how he views you. Let's bring it up on the screen. Therefore, if any man be, and there's two precious words right there, and I've told you two of the best words in the Bible are what? In Christ. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. That old identity of in my sins is gone. And it says, behold, all things are become, and everybody say that last word with me, new. You see, if your life is to have true meaning and significance, it is found in the resurrected Christ. You have to be in Christ. Because look, listen, once I'm in Christ, I am significant, the Bible teaches. Once I am in Christ, I'm significant. I don't have to have a certain brand name blue jeans. I don't have to have a certain brand name on my shoes. I don't have to drive a certain car, live in a certain house, look a certain way. No, once I'm in Christ, I'm significant. Why? Number one in your handout. I want you to get this. Number one, I'm significant because, number one, I am God's temple. I'm God Almighty's temple. Look with me in your handout at a verse, 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, know ye not, ask a rhetorical question to Christians. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth, and I want you to underline or circle those last two words. He says, don't you know, Christian, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Isn't that amazing? Where does the Spirit of God dwell today? In you. Yeah. In the Old Testament, that wasn't true. In the Old Testament, God's presence would fill a building or would fill a room. And only the priest, the high priest, could go into God's presence. Today, once you are in Christ, you become the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You see, in this age that we live in today, God's Spirit is not taking up, His presence isn't filling a room. His presence isn't filling a building. Today, God's presence lives in us. Now, who does God choose to live in? Who does God choose to live in? Go to Ephesians 1 and look at verse 12. Ephesians 1:12. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first, and notice those last three words and say them with me, who first what? Trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, notice what happened. Right after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice the Bible says God takes up residence in everyone who has believed the good news of Jesus. Every person who has trusted Christ, he says now his Spirit lives in you. You are the temple of God. People think, well, man, if I get this certain job, I'll be significant. Man, if I can drive that kind of car, boy, people are going to be impressed and I'll be significant. Man, if I could just, wear that brand name clothes, boy, oh boy, I'll be significant. If I could just move into that neighborhood, if I could just achieve financial status, man, I'll be significant. If I could just wear that kind of purse, I'll be significant. People are going to think, ooh, wow, ooh, look at that purse. She's something. She's significant. If people only knew, nobody cares. Nobody gives a rip what brand name's on the purse. Nobody cares what brand name's on the shoe. No, really, and you know what? Even the people who do care, they're not impressed. They just talk about you behind your back. You know? And it's like nothingness. But yet Satan tells us, oh, you got to look that way if you want to be significant. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, you got to fit into that crowd if you're going to be significant. Oh, yeah, you got to have that brand name if you're going to be significant. Oh, yeah, 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 you got to have that. Got to have this. Got to do this. Got to look this way. Got to do this. Oh, yeah, if you're going to be significant, this is what you have to do. And, man, if people could only see this truth that's in your handout, if God dwells inside of you, you are significant. Can I get an amen? And if God doesn't dwell inside of you, then you know what? You're going to search in vain for significance until he does live inside you. In your handout, it says, young people today are searching for significance in all the wrong places. Young people today are searching for significance in all the wrong places. You know, and they need desperately the Spirit of God to live in their spirit. And here's the deal. This is something I have really tried to teach my boys. By God's grace, one day we'll try to hammer it in our grandkids too. And that's this. Once you trust Jesus Christ, this is what young people need to know. Once you trust Christ, your body is now the temple of the Spirit of God. Your body is the temple of God. In other words, God lives inside of you. In other words, your body is property of the King of Kings. Your body is not a piece of trash, and you don't have to treat it like a piece of trash. If young people knew, man, you know what? I am significant. God lives in my body. My body is property of the King of Kings. Then you know what? Then they know I'm not going to do destructive things to my body. I don't want to do disrespectful things to my body. Man, no, I'm going to carry my body with honor because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm the temple of God. God lives inside of me. I'm His property. The Bible says you're bought with a price. Don't you know that? The Bible says that you're bought with a price. Ye are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. I'm God's property. And so, therefore, once that gets in young people and they understand that, they're going to be more prone to treat their body as such instead of allowing people to do disrespectful things to them or to treat their body like trash or to do things that are going to harm their body. I mean, look, how many of you would get a baseball bat, go down to a new car dealership, and take a baseball bat to a $40,000 car? Are you going to do that? No. Why? You say, well, I'm not going to destroy a $40,000 car that's not even my own. I'm not going to take a baseball bat and destroy a car that's not mine, a beautiful car. Well, you know what? Young people, once they know that their body belongs to God, then you know what their attitude is? You know what? I don't have to take a baseball bat, so to speak, and destroy my body. Why? Because it's not mine. It's property of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm God's temple. Man, young people need to know that. Number two, and old people too, amen. We all need to know that. But number two, I am significant because I am God's workmanship. Go to Ephesians 2 and look at verse 10. I'm God's workmanship. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship. We're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now look at that. God created you in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When a person comes to Jesus for salvation, the Bible says He creates you a new person in Christ. You're His workmanship. Now look, folks, it doesn't make any difference what you were in your past. It doesn't make any difference what you've done in the past. It doesn't make any difference how messed up your life may have been. At the moment of salvation, God makes you a totally new person, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He tells you what it is right there. He created you unto good works. I wonder, do we have any builders in here that like to build things? Like you got a woodworking shop or in your garage or anything? Anybody in here like to build things? One, two, three people. That doesn't speak too well for the care card today, does it? I mean, of all, many hands make light work. We got a bunch of hands in here. They don't know a screwdriver from a hammer, Shannon. All right. It's not important. You'll still get the illustration. All right. If somebody builds something, do they usually build it for a purpose, yes or no? Sure. If you build, say you build a playground in the backyard for your kids or your grandkids, and you got a sandbox and you build stuff for them to climb all over and all that. Now, you build that playground for a purpose. What's the purpose? Somebody said, get the kids out of your hair. All right. All right. That's valid. All right. But no, you build it for them to play on. If you build a privacy fence, why do you build it? Privacy. Yeah, right. This is deep stuff. Amen. I was looking for the word privacy, and somebody said to keep your dog in the early service. If you build a swimming pool, why? Why do you build a swimming pool? To swim in. Right. My point is this. When God says you're his workmanship, do you think God has a plan and purpose for your life? Yeah. You're his workmanship. And so in your handout, it says your life has new purpose. God created you with a purpose. He said, I created you unto good works. Now, Satan will beat you up about your past. He'll convince you that God can't use you. You're worthless. You're a piece of junk. God says, oh, no. Uh-uh, no. You are created in Christ Jesus, and God says, I've got a plan for you. I'm going to use you to do good works. I'm going to use you to serve me. I'm going to use you to impact lives. I saved you. I made you a new person in Christ. You're my workmanship, and therefore, you are significant. Number three, not only am I God's temple if I'm saved, not only am I his workmanship, number three, I am seated with Christ in heaven. Now, we mentioned this last week, but I really want to dig a little deeper on this, and I want to pose a question to you. Christ died for our sins on the cross. He rose from the dead 3 days later. How many of you believe that? Say amen. You believe that? All right, but then what? See, we don't talk about the then what, but there is a then what. Okay, he died on the cross. He rose from the dead. We know that. Then what? Well, we know that there was a 40-day window that he walked the earth, and he made himself known to over 500 witnesses that he was alive. But then what? Well, after 40 days of doing that, the Bible said there were eyewitnesses that saw him ascend from this very earth, and he ascended up through the clouds into the heavens. Well, then what? Well, thankfully, we know what the then what is because the Bible tells us then what. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 20, and I'll show you then what. Look at verse 20. Ephesians 1:20, it says, which he wrought in Christ, notice the wording, when he raised him from the dead, now notice the wording, and set him. Notice the Father set Christ at his own right hand, and what does the end of the verse say? Where did he do it at? In the heavenly places. Now look at the position here. Look at verse 21. Notice he was seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now look up here, church, just for a second, and then we're going to look at a cross-reference. Then what? Okay, well, he ascended. He was exalted at the right hand of the Father in heavenly place. He was given a seat. He was given a position. He was given a place in the heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Now, here's what is exciting, is that if you are in Christ, then the same is true of you. You're in Christ. He was given an exalted position in the heavens. You're in him. Look at Ephesians 2:6. Look at it. Boy, when you get this, it'll just change your whole way of thinking. Look at Ephesians 2:6. The Bible says God, now notice the terming and how it matches Ephesians 1:20. Ephesians 1:20 was talking about Christ. This verse is talking about you. He's raised us up together. What did Ephesians 1:20 say? It said he raised him from the dead. Okay? He raised us up together, same verb, and made us, and what's the next phrase? Sit together. Look back at Ephesians 1:20 when he raised him from the dead and set him. So we've been, Christ was raised up and seated. The Bible just told you. Look at it, Ephesians 2:6. He raised us up, and notice he seated us. He made us sit together. And then notice, Jesus was made to sit in heavenly places. Where have we been made to sit? In heavenly places. You say, how can this be true? The same thing that is true of Christ is true of me. How can that be? What does the end of verse 6 say? What does the very end of verse 6 say? How did it happen? In Christ. Y'all are getting it, aren't you? Now let me ask you this. That verse you just read, he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Is that something God's going to do, or is that worded as such that it's already been done? Already happened. It's already happened. You've already been seated in heavenly places. You say, whoa, wait a minute. How can I be seated right now in heavenly places when my back end is in a pew in Daytona Beach? How can that be, Pastor Dan? Well, think about this. We say our congressmen are seated in the halls of Congress. We don't mean they're literally physically sitting in a seat right now there. When we say that our congressmen are seated in the hall, they have a seat in the halls of Congress, and they're seated in the halls of Congress, what we mean is they have a place. They have a position in Congress. They're seated in the halls of Congress. That is, they have a position there. Doesn't mean that they're necessarily physically there. They could be physically absent, but yet when we say they're seated in the halls of Congress, we know that means they have a place and they have a position. So the Bible says you may be physically sitting in a pew or a seat in Daytona Beach, but you've already been seated in heaven. You have a place and a position in heavenly places. Why? In Christ Jesus. That means that if you're saved, you already have a place in heaven, you already have a position in heaven, all of heaven knows your name, they know who you are, and you know what? That means we are significant, amen. The world may say that, well, you're not significant. The world says, you're not a beauty queen. You're not a hunk. Not a hunk, not a Hulk, nothing. You're not a star athlete. You don't have a cool car. One time I went to Dunkin' Donut, and I don't go there very often, but one time I went there. And I drove in Dunkin' Donut. I pull up, you know, right in the front spot there. There was hardly anybody there. I walk inside, order my coffee and my donut. Little old gal behind the counter, probably 16, 17 years old. She says, I've just got to tell you something. And I said, huh, she wants to brag on my tie, my shirt. She says, I've just got to tell you something. I said, well, what would you like to tell me? She said, you have a dorky car. At that time, I was driving around a little old, how many of y'all remember the little Dodge Omnis? Remember those? Man, it was a clunker too, buddy. And I was driving around a little Dodge Omni, probably about 200,000 miles on it. And she said, you have a dorky car. And I said, well, that may be, but give me my donut so I can go crawl back in my dorky car and get out of here. You know what I should have said? I should have said, I may have a dorky car, but I'm seated in heaven, amen. That's what I should have told her. You always think of stuff afterwards, you know, you ought to say. But I laughed about that. Now, some people, that would bother them. For someone to think you have a that would just bother them so bad. It didn't bother me a bit. You know why? Because my significance isn't in my car. I know my significance is in Christ. I know that. I'm significant in Christ. To me, a car is to get from point A to point B. Amen. You know? And so it's like, I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny. You know, people just, they get so tied up in the outward, the physical. You know, Paul said, man, don't look at the outward. That's not what it's all about. He said, we don't look at the things, he said, that are temporal. We're looking at the things that are eternal. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because my identity is not tied to earthly things. My identity, remember, I'm seated in heaven. You see, that's my position. That's my place. That's my identity. I'm a citizen of heaven. That's my identity. That's why he said, set your affection on that. You see what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? Say amen. You know, talking about putting emphasis on the outward. And I told Denise in the early service, it's a good thing I don't put my, that my identity is not tied to my hair or my smell. Because there's a reason why I said that. The other night I was watching my boys' baseball game, and I was into it. Both my boys were playing. It was right here at the 7-Eleven, right here by the field behind 7-Eleven, 2 minutes from here. And I was sitting here watching them play. Man, I was into the game. I was engrossed. It was about second inning, you know. And I'm watching the game. And all of a sudden, I had a few church members around me that were watching it too. And Denise was in the van or something. She had to run to the van. She wasn't with me. She had been sitting right there beside me, but she had to run to the van. And all of a sudden, I'm watching the game, and I went, whoa, what was that? It was like somebody took a 32-ounce big gulp and just poured it all over me. And it hit me. It hit me, and I felt it all over me. And I went, oh, what was that? And I looked around. And, you know, I was looking for a teenager or someone that was, you know, playing with me. And everybody's going, they're looking at me like I'm nuts. I think, whoa, someone is playing with me. Because, I mean, come on. I mean, it was like I got drenched. And, I mean, I could just feel it on me. And so we got a I got a church member beside me, and I'm like, what in the world? I said, you didn't feel that? I said, it was like somebody just dumped Coca-Cola all over me. I said, you didn't. And she looked at me, and she started laughing, and she went. And I said, what is so funny? She went. And she pointed up, and there was a big light pole right above me. And there was a humongous bird that decided I look like a great place to do his thing. I had it in my hair, on my forehead. It was all over me. And I'm thinking in my mind, how did Denise know to leave right then? How did she know to leave? I look up, there's that bird, man. He had a smile on his face, too. Luckily, we live 3 minutes from the ball field. I had to go home and shower and shampoo in the middle of the game. My boys were like, Dad, where'd you go? Went home to get a shower. What? You know what? You weren't about to hug me like that, were you, honey? That bird, let me tell you something. Folks, I am glad my identity was not tied to my smell or my outward appearance, because it was not very pretty, let me tell you. But you know what? That's just a funny way of looking at it. But you know what? Let me ask you something. Even with bird droppings on me, does that change who I am in Christ? Doesn't change it one bit. Hey, do you know there's people that are going to stand before the Lord one day, and they're going to go, Lord, I've done many wonderful works. The Bible says Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, but Lord, I was a movie star. I won Oscars. Depart from me. I never knew you. But Lord, I had the fanciest house in town. Everybody knew me. Depart from me. I never knew you. You know what I was thinking about? What good is it for everybody down here to know you if Jesus doesn't know you? What good is it if everyone else knows you if Christ doesn't know you? You know? You see, my significance is I'm God's temple. I'm His workmanship. Man, I'm seated in heavenly places. Number four, last thing is this. I'm almost done. I may approach God with freedom. Look at Ephesians 2:18, please. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. This is a great verse to underline. Sometimes you feel like, well, I feel dirty, I feel defiled. I look at my past, I think, God, He would never want to talk to me. That is simply not true. When you got saved, God cleansed you of all of your sin. He washed away your sin, like we sung this morning, white as snow. And He made you fit to stand in the presence of a holy God and to commune with God. And in your handout it says that when you are in Christ, when you're in Christ, you have free entrance into God's presence to talk to Him at any time. Look at Ephesians 2:18. It says, for through Him, the Him is Christ, for through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit, notice, unto the Father. Hey, if you're a Christian today, does God hear your prayers? You know why? Do you know why He hears you? Not because you got a lily white past. Not because you're better than me. Not because you're better than someone else. The reason why He hears you is because of who you are in Christ. Through Christ, you have access to the Father. You know, you may never get to meet or shake hands with a sports star, a movie star, but if you're in Christ, you possess true significance because you have access to the one who created it all. You can talk to the one who created everything on this earth any time of the night or day. You know, I brought something in here this morning. I wanted to end with this, but this is a baseball glove that if you look at that baseball glove, it's really nothing special to look at. It's old. It's faded. It's not even a brand name. I mean, it is nothing fancy at all. But you know, that glove holds a great deal of significance to me. And the reason why that glove is so significant to me is because it belonged to my dad. And this is the glove that my dad and I would go out in the street or out in the yard, and we would play catch many, many times during the week because I was really into baseball. Dad, let's go warm up my arm, I'd say. Okay. And he'd take that glove right there, and he'd go out and he'd play catch with me. Still got his name on there. It's got our old phone number from Missouri on there. And, you know, that glove is significant, very significant. Not because of how it looks outwardly, but because of who it belongs to. And I wish I could get young people to see this and every Christian to see that. You see, you are significant. Not because of outward beauty. Not because people look at you and go, wow. Not because of a brand name, not because of how slick you look and how you look better than somebody else. No, you know what? You are significant because of who you belong to. You're significant because of who you belong to. If you're saved today, you belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, listen, you're one of the King's kids. And your significance is tied not to how you look. Your significance is tied to who you belong to. You're God's workmanship. You are His temple. You are seated in Christ in heaven already, and you have access to talk to Him any time of the day or night. You're significant because of who you are, who you belong to. And all the outward stuff's going to fade away anyway. Outward beauty fades away. Talking about cars earlier, do you know all cars end up in the same place? The junkyard, right? They all end up in the same place. Fancy clothes all end up in the same place. Listen, all that stuff ends up in the same place. Your significance is tied to who you belong to. And in your handout, It says Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead so that you could be forgiven of all your sins and clothed in Christ's righteousness. True meaning and significance is found where? Say that a little bit louder. Where is it found? In Christ. Oh, I hope we can get that in our hearts.